The writing room is a space for authors to exchange positive ideas, professional advice, and motivation. In our podcast series, you'll find interviews with authors, publishing professionals, and wider industry contacts about writing, publishing, top tips, and best practice. For our first episode, we spoke to million copy-selling author Imogen Clarke. Imogen writes contemporary fiction about families and secrets. Her books have topped the Amazon Kindle chart 8 times, and her book Where the Story Starts was shortlisted in the UK for Contemporary Romantic Novel of the Year 2020. Imogen initially qualified as a lawyer, but after leaving her legal career behind to care for her 4 children, she returned to her first love, books. She went back to university, studying English literature part-time whilst the children were at school. It was a short step from there to writing novels. Hello, Imogen. Thank you so much for joining us today at the Writing Room.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Please, can you start off by introducing a little bit about yourself to everybody watching or listening?
Yes, I live in Ilkley in West Yorkshire. I live here with, I've got 4 children who've all just recently flown the nest, so I'm an empty nester, and my husband, who is still here. And I have been writing for about 10 years. Before that, I was a lawyer. So I qualified at university as a solicitor and worked as a solicitor. I gave that up to look after my children and then started dabbling with books.
As you just mentioned then, you had a start to your career in the legal field. When did you actually kind of start writing, or at least start thinking about writing as a career option? And please kind of tell us about your publication journey.
Well, I started a blog in 2008, primarily because my children were getting far ahead of me with technology, and I thought I am going to have to keep up with them, otherwise this will go horribly wrong. So I started a blog to sort of talk about what it was like being at home with 4 children, and so I did that for a few years, and there were just little pieces about, it was called Imogen Clarke at Home, and it was just little pieces about my life. And I really enjoyed the creativity of that, because I think one of the things of being a solicitor is it's not that creative. So it was really nice to have something to write that wasn't a formal kind of contract or whatever. And then in about 2010, I had a dream that I'd written a novel. And I woke up and I thought, I wrote a novel. And I thought, no, you didn't. But perhaps I could. And so that set me off. I wrote my first novel, and it was, you know, it was finished. Yeah. That was about as much as I can say about it, really. My book group very loyally read it. And as they were all talking about it, to start with, they were all very polite. And then as they got into talking about it, I realised that they were kind of talking about the book like we talked about all other books that we read. And they were sort of analysing the characters and saying, well, he wouldn't do that, and perhaps I would have done this. And I was sitting there, and part of me was completely terrified, and part of me was thinking, this is really interesting. I know, only is my book. And so, but I knew that that book wasn't quite the one. And so I went and started, I did a tiny little creative writing course, and that then made me realize that there was so much more to learn. And so then I signed up to do a degree in English literature with the Open University. And so I did that. And all the time I was doing that, I was still writing novels and then putting them in a drawer and then writing another and putting them in a drawer. And then eventually I wrote, as part of NaNoWriMo, the write a novel in a month thing in November, I wrote a YA book about some schoolgirls. And so I thought perhaps I would have a go at self-publishing, and I self-published those under a pseudonym because I was too scared to self-publish it in my own name. Yeah. And so I published it as a pseudonym, and it went okay. And I thought, okay. And I'd learned how to do the basic self-publishing stuff by then. So then I then felt brave enough to publish one in my own name. And I published Postcards from a Stranger, which was the first book that was then published by Amazon Publishing as well. And that did really well, and it got to, you know, sort of in the top 20 in the Kindle charts, and it was really exciting. And then within 6 weeks or so of publishing that, I got the call from Amazon to say, what else are you writing? And so they offered me a contract, and it all just sort of went from there.
Oh, I love that. I love hearing about like people's kind of stories to publication. I think they're so interesting, especially when you've done the self-published route and the traditional publishing route. So thank you for sharing that. How has your writing process changed over time?
I don't think it's changed that much. I'm not an outliner. In all aspects of my life, I'm a phenomenal planner, except when it comes to writing books.
Oh,
And
really?
I start with a question or an idea of something that I'm interested in, and then I'll think of some characters who might populate this idea, and then I just set off. And that's how I started doing it, and that's how I'm still doing it now. And I think it is slightly different process simply because I now have more experience and I don't tend to write myself into corners anymore. But that is it, that same process of having the question and maybe the themes and the characters, but not much else, is that's still my process. And I over the years I've now learned to trust that. And every so often I have a bit of a panic and think, I have no idea where this story
Yeah.
is going. I have no idea what the ending is. And I, but eventually, but it always works out. So far, touch wood. So I just have to trust that it's going to do it again. And sometimes it takes a while to think through how I'm going to finish something or move something forward. Sometimes it comes to me overnight, but it always arrives.
It does.
And that's been the same since that very first one that I wrote way back, in 2010, and it's the same. It's the same now.
Oh, that's really interesting. I suppose this is a bit of a sub question, but does the lack of kind of planning out exactly how it's going to go change the way that you edit at all?
I don't think it does because, well, I don't know because I've never done it the other way.
Okay, yeah, I suppose
But I do. It does tend to work. I think. I consider, and I know I don't write crime, but I think of it as a big puzzle. So I think that I'm trying to solve a puzzle of what this book will be. And so I do think quite hard about it while I'm going along. And I don't write very much each day. I only write sort of 1500 words or something a day, and then I stop. And then I go away and think about what might happen the next day. And I think because of that, the story comes to me in little sections, but it's quite strong. So by the time I get to the end, the whole thing does tend to hold together, even though I didn't have a plan. So my editing process is not too bad at all, really, because by the time I get to the end, it's taking me, I've been thinking about it quite hard as I've been going along.
I really like that idea of the story just kind of taking you along, and day by day it kind of
Yeah.
continues. It's a bit like a river where it just kind of bends off in places you didn't really expect.
Completely. It is really exciting, and sometimes it's frustrating because obviously, in the weather. Well, if I'd had a different idea that day, the book might have been completely different. Because I do tend to go with, I don't tend to get rid of anything that I've written. So if I have what I think is an idea and that will sustain the story to the next bit, I will go with that one, even though the next day I might have a different idea, unless the next day's idea is, out of the water, better than the rest. But usually, it's a bit like doing one of those books that you read when you're a kid, and if you want them to character to do this, go to page 10. If you want them to
Yeah.
do this, go to page 14. It works out a bit like that. So I think, well, they could do this or they could do that. Okay, we'll do that, and then we do that, and then I stick with that path really. I try not to look back and see what else they could have done because that way madness lies, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to know what has been the highlight of your writing career so far, and what about any challenges you've faced?
Highlight is really difficult because the whole thing is so exciting and magical that every time something happens, it's the best thing ever, and then something else happens. So, the very first time I held a book that I had written in my hands was amazing. And then I got the phone call from Amazon Publishing, and that was amazing. And then I got my contract, and then the first time I hit Kindle store number one, and then I'd sold 100,000 copies, and I got nominated for a prize. And then this summer I hit 1 million copies. And all these things are all fantastic at the time when they happen. And then we crack on, and then something else happens that's fantastic. So I think it's because it's been such an adventure and so unexpected, because I just self-published a novel, and then all this stuff happened around me. I think it's the whole thing is just a highlight, and I just feel so very privileged that I'm really enjoying it. And I'm sure it, you know, there'll be bits that are horrid. But just at the moment, I'm just having a ball. I'm really, really, really enjoying being a writer and just creating stories. And I think challenges wise, I think the kind of challenges I have, I think are the kind of challenges that most writers have. And it's all to do with self-confidence and imposter syndrome, all that kind of stuff, because the more you write, the more readers you have, the scarier it gets, I think, because you think, well, you know, you've got more people. When it was just my mum reading the book, you know, that was, you know, that was bad enough. But then, you know, now there's lots and lots of people reading. And that is, can be quite scary, particularly when you've got a new book coming out and you just don't know how that's going to go. I don't read reviews at all, because I just find that the reviews, the good ones and the bad ones, the good ones make me think that they must be lying, and the bad ones set me back for weeks. You know, if I read a really bad review of my work, it just knocks my confidence. So that's the biggest challenge for me, just trusting that it will come and trusting that I can do it, and keeping all the little voices in your head, just trying to keep them at bay, really, I think is the biggest challenge. And I don't think that's unique to me. I think that's just something that all writers have. It's, you know, it's a scary business.
Yeah, no, exactly. And as writing, it just feels like you're putting a little bit of your heart on the line, and it's really kind of difficult. Yeah. Even when you were saying, when the book group were reading like the first book that you'd ever written, and it's so difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, everything needs the yin and the yang, the black and the white, and the exciting and the scary to make it feel real. And for me, the exciting bit is creating the story and watching it all unfold. And the scary bit is the response to that story. You know, in an ideal world, you just sit in your room writing stories for yourself, and that would be perfect. But obviously, that's not really the idea. So you have to have both bits. You have to have the excitement of creating the story and the fear of the response that it might get.
Yeah, definitely. We've touched on this a little bit already. So as someone who has done both, how do you find the difference between self-publishing and being traditionally published? And what do you think are the pros and cons of both for you personally?
I think it's very different now to how it was when I self-published. I think I self-published Postcards in 2016. And back then, that's such a long time ago, and it isn't a long time ago, but so much has changed in that time. And so, you know, Facebook advertising and Amazon advertising wasn't really a thing, and Facebook advertising was very new, and other businesses weren't doing it, and so it was much easier to get visibility. You could still grow organically on Facebook, and which is much more difficult to do now. Everything was just that little bit easier than I think it is currently. So to that extent, it's difficult to compare the two things, because now obviously I've been traditionally published since 2017. But the difficulties of it aside, I think the differences are mainly to do with control. So when a publisher has bought your book, they've bought your book, so that they then have the rights to do with it as they choose, I think, within reason, obviously. Whereas if you're publishing it yourself, you can make all those decisions. You know, you write your own blurb and you do your own cover and all those kinds of things. You make your own prices. You can decide exactly where you want it to appear, where you want it to be sold, all those kinds of things. And it's really liberating, I think, to have that degree of freedom. And I really enjoyed that, because I'm not very good at being told what to do. So I really enjoyed the freedom. But also with the traditional publishing, it takes a lot of those kinds of pressures, even though they are a freedom, they are also a pressure. And I don't have to do that. You know, somebody else makes a decision on my covers, so I don't have to sweat over which one I like best. I mean, I do get to choose from a selection, but at the end of the day, my attitude is very much that I write the book and it's their job to sell the book. So that's, I'm quite happy to usually to go with what they've suggested. And with it being Amazon publishing, then obviously the huge database and the huge algorithms and all that kind of stuff that they've got behind them that I couldn't even begin to sort out for myself. So that is really nice. And it also means that I do just really worry about the actual writing. I do marketing myself, but there's no obligation on me to do that. I do that because, you know, why wouldn't you? Because it's fun and I like to do that kind of stuff. But it isn't something that is expected of me. So the two things are the two worlds are very, very different. I think at the end of the day, it depends on your personality and which bits of it you find interesting. Because if you're only really interested in creating stories, then the self-publishing thing probably isn't for you. Whereas if you see the whole thing as a business, it absolutely will be for you, because there's so much more beyond just writing the story.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thank you. That was really detailed. Speaking of marketing, how do you find marketing your own books? You've touched on it that you enjoy it. And how do you use social media as an author?
So it's not so much marketing my books, it's marketing my brand, I think. So I try not to do the "this is my book, buy my book, buy my book" thing, because I just, you know, it's just a bit boring. So my approach, whether it works or not, I don't know, but my approach to social media and to marketing generally is that I try to demonstrate my personality through my social media, and that eventually people, occasionally I mention my books, and I'm hoping that people will enjoy the photos that I post and the captions that I write and the way that my personality comes through my social media. And then eventually I'll go, "Oh, doesn't she write books?" And then go and have a look and see. And, yeah, you know, perhaps if they like my personality on Instagram, they might well like my books as well. And so that's the way I do it. And so that's why I enjoy it, because it's great fun, you know, posting pictures of sheep and other things that I have around in Yorkshire. Connecting with people who at that point might not be readers or might not even really know that that's what I'm doing. And then gradually, you know, building up those relationships and that level of engagement. And that's what social media is so fantastic at, because it does just mean you can just, you know, you just touch out, you know, and reach all these different people. And the ones that you obviously have a connection with sort of float to the top. And that's what I really enjoy. But I'm not very good at the whole buy my book thing. I hope that people buy my book because they're interested in the rest of it.
I think that is really useful and interesting, and it's really authentic, and it feels really just kind of who you are and what you're all about.
You know, it's quite easy to be authentic because it's true. So, you know, I find, you know, trying to posting and talking about the things that you're interested in and the things that appeal to you and all those kinds of things is much easier, I think, than doing the buy my book thing, because it's who you really are. And so, you know, that just sort of comes naturally. And most writers are introverts and they don't really want to be making, you know, big song and dance about themselves. So there aren't very many pictures of me on my Instagram. There are a few, but not very many. But there's lots of pictures of where I live and what I do and, you know, how I spend my days and the beautiful, beautiful countryside around my house and all those kinds of things. And those are the things that feature in my books, because, you know, a lot of my books are set in this bit of the world. And so, you know, I might put pictures of places where I go on research trips on Instagram, and then people will then possibly be interested in what I was doing in York. And, "Well, I was in York because I was researching my new book." "Oh, what's your book?" "Oh, well, it's this." And so it works well that way, I think.
If you could go back in time and give yourself one piece of writing advice, what would it be?
Oh, that's so easy. I just know the answer. I'd be brave. I spent so long dithering about and not doing anything about the fact that I wanted to be a writer, and I dithered about whether I should try and find an agent, and I didn't do it, and I dithered about whether I should self-publish, and I didn't do that either. And I just spent so long just thinking, well, I can't really do it, so I'll just write another one next. I'll write another one and then we'll see how that one is. And what really, if I could go back now, I would say it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be well produced and well written. But it, you know, just try. And if people don't like it, you'll know very quickly that people don't like it. So I wish I'd been braver at the very beginning. And I think if I'd done that, the thing that I did that made the difference to my writing career was I decided to stop treating it as a hobby and to invest in myself. And so I invested in an edit of the book that went on to become the first book that I published myself. And I think at that point, that was then the game changer for me, because once I'd invested in myself, I felt a bit more like, I put some money in now and you've got some skin in the game, and I needed to have a go. So that really helped. And I think that's the top bit of advice, I think, is to just to believe in yourself. But being brave and taking the risks, that's what I should have done. And I should have done that a good 4 years earlier than I did. So that's what I tell myself now if I went back.
That's lovely advice. Just be brave and just go for
it. How wrong can it go?
Exactly. If it all comes crashing down, then it does.
Yeah. And I think, when I was brave, I was only vaguely brave because I wrote the first three under a pseudonym. And I think I was thinking, well, it's okay because I can write as her. And then if it's all just awful, I'll just run away and nobody will ever know that it was me.
That's her problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that was like a kind of a compromise. But yeah, how wrong can it go? Just try that. That's what I would say to myself.
What does a day in the life of Imogen Clark look like in terms of writing or whenever you're working on a project?
It's quite different now that the kids have all just disappeared to college, because now I've got whole days in which I can do things without someone interrupting me every 40 seconds. But basically, I'm much better in the morning. I'm a morning person and I'm a really early riser, especially in the summer. So I'm sort of up about sort of 5:30-ish. And I don't start writing at that point, but I'm awake and thinking and on it. And then I will, after I've had some breakfast, I will start writing, and that will be the first thing that I do in the day. And I write in Scrivener, and I set my Scrivener target depending on when I need to finish my manuscript by. And so I will write the number of words that I have to write for that day. And then, as I mentioned earlier, and then I stop, because then I don't know what's going to happen next. And so I then go away and I do my normal day, and I will have there'll be some marketing and there'll be some creation of some imagery on Canva or whatever, and emails to reply to and a blog post to write. And those are the kinds of things that are all sort of ancillary to the main task of writing the book. And all that time I'll be thinking about where the story's going. And I think I'm a bit distracted when I'm in first draft mode, because my head's always just not quite with the people that I'm with. It's always with my characters and what's going to happen next. And then by the time it gets to about 4 o'clock, I'm useless and hopeless, and then I abandon my desk and go and do other things as well. But yes, it's definitely a morning person, and definitely writing the actual writing, the creation first, and then all the other stuff later when my brain's a bit soggier and not quite as on it.
We would love to know, what are you excited for next?
Oh, I'm excited about everything. I'm really excited about everything. So at the moment, I have got a book is a Amazon first read in America, but isn't out here yet. So that comes out on the 1st of February. So I'm excited. I'm slightly nervous, but excited about that. And then I have the next two are written, so we're moving into sort of cover design and choosing narrators for audiobooks, and that's all really, really exciting. And I think every time something new happens, I've had a message today to say that another of my books is going to be translated into a different language, and every time something like that happens, it's just really exciting.
Yeah.
So because I had that kind of dream story to publication where I just self-published it and then got offered the contract and then went on to sell a million books and all that kind of stuff, I feel so privileged that that has happened to me, because it's luck. And lots of people write fantastic books and it never quite works out, and I feel that it was just a serendipity that it happened to work for me. And so because of that, I'm so grateful for that I try not to think of any of it as being that I don't want to do it or anything, because it's just such a gift. So I'm just perpetually excited, really. Obviously, it's not all. Yeah, some of it's really difficult, and you have to do the work, and I have to sit and write every day, and I have to keep, whether I've got ideas or no ideas, and I don't know where my characters are going, and I have no idea how the book's going to end, and I'm on a deadline, and it's got to be in, and so I make it sound like it's all dead easy, and it isn't dead easy, but it is all exciting, because I think partly because I don't have a plan, and because I, you know, I create it as I'm going along. That's exciting because I never know what the book is. It must be terrifying for my publisher because they don't know what the book is either.
They're like, oh no. So,
yeah, until I did, could you just do a brief synopsis? Or I can, but I can't guarantee the book will look like that.
Yeah.
It might sound trite, but I literally am excited about everything. I just find the whole thing just endlessly fabulous.
Yeah, you can tell how much you love it. It's like radiating off you when you talk about it. So I think that's so nice to see as well, that even though sometimes it can be really difficult and it can be grueling, and but to know that there is so much love there and such like a community of writers that all just love
the absolutely thing. Yeah, I mean the community of writers is fantastic, and the, you know, people are so generous with their time and with their advice and their thoughts and their experience. And, you know, my learning curve has been extraordinarily steep because I went from knowing nothing to having to know quite a lot. And when I first started, I had no agent, so I negotiated my own contracts and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it was I had a lot to learn very, very quickly. And I asked lots of questions of other people, and everybody gave me time and would talk to me about things that I might want to consider and things that I might encounter. And now I try to do that too, because now I know a bit about it. I mean, relatively. And I feel like, you know, I'm very happy to share that with people who are where I was a few years back, because if we don't all talk to each other, you know, there's no one to learn. And I think there's a real danger in the writing community that I think is historic, and it's been there for such a long time, but writers tend to feel beholden to everybody else. They tend to feel beholden to the agents and beholden to the publishers. And I think it's really important that we remember that without us, the whole industry would not be there. If it weren't for the writers creating the stories, the rest of it wouldn't be a thing. Everyone's so desperate to get a contract and so desperate to have success and all those kinds of things, but it's so important to remember that it's the story. It's all about the story, and only you can create your story, and nobody else can do that. And I think we all need to write. That's why it's really important that writers all talk to each other and boost each other's confidence and remember those things, because otherwise you kind of, you know, the writer comes very low down in the pecking order, and that just all feels wrong to me, because the writer is the creator, and without them the rest of it wouldn't be there.
Yeah, I totally agree. Completely agree with you. Oh, you've given some really nice pearls of wisdom there. It's been wonderful to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on today. And I'm sure
it's fine.
Everybody has loved listening and watching. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Kate.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Writing Room podcast. To see more interviews like this, please follow the podcast on your preferred streaming service, and you can join our community Facebook page at The Writing Room, or by using the link in the description below.